I'm very happy to introduce our first speaker, Thibaut Verdenal. So Thibaut Verdenal was trained as an agronomist in Angers, ESA Angers. Then he went to work for private companies, and well, he's still very young, but he has an impressive career. He worked in India in a company consulted by Michel Roland, and eventually he ended up in Shenzhen, in Agroscope in Switzerland, where he is doing research. He completed a PhD on nitrogen in vines, which is a very important topic, with a very interesting experimental setup. He fed vines with labeled nitrogen, 15, the heavy isotope 15 nitrogen, and he accounted the compartmentation of the nitrogen in the roots, the shoots, the trunks, and the canopy, the juice and the solid parts of the grapes. And so well, he's becoming really an expert on nitrogen. So those who are familiar with scientific research on nitrogen, you know that big names in nitrogen research were Cobus Conradi in the 1980s, Marcus Keller in the 1990s, and well, now we have Thibaut Verdenal. He published an impressive review on nitrogen. About everything which you want to know about nitrogen was published in a review by Thibaut in UNO1. This paper was published in 2021 and is already cited 20 times. So he's going to give us an overview on managing nitrogen balance in cover crop vineyards. It's up to you, Thibaut.
Thank you, Keith, for the introduction. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me today. So I'll tell you about managing nitrogen in cover crop vineyard. Please have a look at this picture. It's a plot of the cultivar Chasselas in Switzerland. And it's a flowering stage. I took the picture a few weeks back. And so you can see here the underdeveloped canopy, very short shoots at that stage. And also the color of the leaves, very light green, yellowish. These are symptoms of nitrogen deficiency in the vine, in grapevines. And in this situation, the deficiency is due to mainly to the structure of the soil, which is a very compact clay soil, which doesn't help the development of the roots, but also a lack of fertilization. Here is another example, cultivar Petit Arvin, also in Switzerland, in a different region. And here you can see strong symptoms of nitrogen deficiency. It's a bunch closure stage, and you can hardly find grapes on the vines. And this time, the deficiency is due to the overdeveloped cover crop, which brings a very strong competition to nutrient and water. So nitrogen is essential for the development of the plant and for the production of high-quality wine. In the vineyard, nitrogen deficiency will affect the vigor of the plant. And also in the long term, the bud fruitfulness will decrease, and it will affect also the yield. And in enology, during the winemaking, nitrogen deficiency in grape must will affect the fermentation kinetics, because the yeast require nitrogen to properly multiply and grow to consume the sugar. And also the organic nitrogen in the must is a source of aroma and aromas precursors for the wine. The white wines are particularly sensitive to this deficiency. So what are the factors that influence nitrogen metabolism in grapevines? We conducted a study over 3 years, it's a terroir study on several cultivars, and here is the example of the cultivar Doral, a white cultivar. We selected 5 plots for the region, conducted in the same way. We measured, each plot was divided in two. We had a unfertilized control treatment and a fertilized treatment. And we measure physiological parameters and must composition at harvest. And you can see here the discrimination between the different treatments. You can see first a vertical discrimination, which is mainly due to the composition of must at harvest in terms of sugar and acidity, in terms of maturity, which is related mainly to the climate. And it's different every year. And then there is a second discrimination, an horizontal discrimination, and you can see it's the same discrimination every year. It's a constant discrimination, which is related to the soil, the structure of the soil. And here, it's more related to nitrogen vigor of the plant. And only after that, you can see that each dot, all the dots are paired by two, that are the control treatment and the fertilized treatment for each plot. So the environmental conditions, that are the climate and the soil, had a largely dominant impact on the grapevine metabolism. Despite this fact, the main factor that influenced the overall quality of the wine, white wine, was the concentration of yeast assimilable nitrogen in must at harvest. So this is a quote of wine testing, and you can see the quality was better with higher level of nitrogen in the must. So knowing this, what can we do when we want to produce, when we want to optimize the accumulation of nitrogen in the must? So we have seen the strong impact of the environmental conditions, but still, as producers, we can manage and adjust our agronomic practices to improve, to some extent, the accumulation of nitrogen in the plant and in the must. So first of all, there is the choice of the plant material. We should choose the proper variety and the proper rootstock adapted to the environmental conditions to promote nitrogen uptake. Two, the soil management is very important. I won't develop that that part this morning, and Gonzagas and Saint Esteban will speak also about cover crop. So here we can have a strong influence, and as I showed you before, it can be also cover crop can have a very negative impact on the grapevine nitrogen metabolism. Three, the plant balance. We can manage the balance of the plants by choosing the size of the canopy and also the food growth of the plant. That way we will impact the nitrogen metabolism. And in some situations, even if we manage properly, if we choose properly the plant material, we manage properly the soil and the plant balance, we may still face nitrogen deficiency in the plant. In that case, we will go for fertilization. So the rest of my presentation, I will develop the plant material, plant balance, and fertilization. So to start with the plant material, here is a trial that was conducted at Hygroscope for 12 years. It was on a plot of Pinot Noir in our vineyard in Letron. And we compared the impact of different rootstocks. The graph here represents the winter pruning weight, which represents the vigor of the plant, in relation with the yeast assimilable nitrogen at harvest. And you can see, in average, over 12 years, it was always the same rootstock that had the best ability to uptake nitrogen, they give the highest vigor and the highest concentration of nitrogen in the must. And you can see the variation is very large. We can go for below 140 milligrams. We consider the must in nitrogen deficiency, and we may face problems during the fermentation. And above 200, we consider the must properly with good concentration of nitrogen. So the choice, this is an illustration on the importance of the choice of the material. Vegetal material. About the plant balance, I imagine most of you heard about the leaf to fruit ratio. We usually recommend at a minimum of 1 to 1.2 square meter of leaves, exposed leaf, per kg of fruits to guarantee the proper maturation of the grapes in terms of sugar accumulation. You can see here on the graph the variation of the leaf to foot ratio. So in that experiment, we manipulated foot load and the leaf area. And you can see below the threshold, the accumulation of sugar is compromised. And below the threshold, you can see a plateau, meaning that there is more leaves are not required to improve the sugar accumulation. But this is in terms of sugar and in carbon accumulation. What is the impact of leaf to foot ratio in terms of nitrogen accumulation? We will see that now. There are two ways to manipulate the leaf to foot ratio. You can either manipulate the canopy size or the foot load. Here is a trial that was conducted in our vineyard in Puy with two different canopy height. We changed the trimming height. So we compared 90 centimeters and 150 centimeters. And you can see here that in the situation of bigger canopy size, we decrease the concentration of nitrogen in the plant, in the entire plant, including in terms of yeast assimilable nitrogen in the must at harvest. The global quantity of nitrogen remained constant in the plant, but it was like diluted in the bigger volumes of biomass. The other way to manipulate the leaf to foot ratio is to remove grapes early in the season. We have bunch thinning, like you see on the picture. And you can see here on the graph, so it's a study that was conducted over 2 years, and the graphs here represent an average over 2 years. The impact here is very different from from canopy management. There are two mechanisms involved. I will speak about nitrogen assimilation and nitrogen partitioning. Here is the nitrogen assimilation. You can see that here, that for a lower yield, assimilation, the global nitrogen assimilation by the plant will decrease. You have to know that the grapes have the strongest zinc strength of the plant when you compare to all the organs together. So by reducing the quantity of grapes, we reduce the demand and the plant will adjust nitrogen uptake. Now, in terms of partitioning, whatever nitrogen the quantity of nitrogen assimilated is partitioned differently in the plant in function of crop load. You can see that the quantity of nitrogen accumulated in the grapes will increase almost proportionally to the quantity of grapes. And this to the detriment of the concentration of the quantity of nitrogen accumulated in the roots. On the other hand, you can see the concentration in the canopy remain totally unchanged and independent from foot load. So the results, the combination of these two mechanisms allow the plant to maintain a constant concentration of yeast assimilable nitrogen in the must at harvest. So bunch thinning is not a good practice to improve or increase the concentration of nitrogen in the must. I have to precise that this experiment was conducted in conditions where we had no stress, no water restriction, and no nitrogen restriction either. So, bunch thinning didn't influence the concentration of the grapes, but it did affect the quality and the composition of nitrogen in the must at harvest. We analyzed the amino acid composition in the must in all the treatments. So each dot here is a vine, it's a different vine, and we analyzed separately. And you can see again here the strong impact of the vintage in terms of maturation. And so the maturation has an impact of amino acid accumulation. So you can see a clear discrimination. But inside each year, you can see a vertical discrimination that was directly related to the yield. So by changing the profile, the amino profile of the must, we potentially modify also the the development of aromas in the wine. I won't develop this result here today because I don't have time, but I invite you to read the article that will be published this summer in another one. So to resume about the leaf to foot ratio,
We have two ways to manipulate the leaf-to-fruit ratio. Either we increase the leaf area, and in that case, we will induce a lower concentration of nitrogen in the grain at harvest. In some situation, we might induce nitrogen deficiency also. The other way is to reduce crop load, and in that case, we won't affect the nitrogen concentration in the grapes. So, as I told you before, in some situation, even if we manage properly the soil, the plant balance, if we have the proper plant material, even in those situations, some situation, we still may face nitrogen deficiency. In that case, we will go for fertilization, which is the last point of my presentation. Usually, we bring nitrogen early in the season with the aim of improving the vigor of the plants and to also maintain bud fertility and yield in the long term, over the years. We can bring organic or mineral forms of nitrogen, and it's usually between 30 to 50 kg per hectare. This fertilization, of course, is not compulsory. It's mainly driven by the... We have to observe the plant and see the symptoms also. In a situation of cover-cropped vineyard, I would strongly recommend to maintain the below the row, below the vine, to maintain clean, to remove the weeds from that area, and to localize the nitrogen under the row to improve nitrogen efficiency. I will show you results afterwards. I would also recommend to bury a little bit in the soil, because there is a part of nitrogen that is lost in the air by volatilization. We have to keep in mind that when we go for fertilization, usually in a non-cover crop vineyard, only about 30 to 40% of the nitrogen we apply is really assimilated by the plant. And that percentage will go even lower if we are in the situation of cover crop vineyard. Here is an illustration of what I said. It's a trial conducted over 4 years in our vineyard in Changin. So the plot was cover cropped, clean with the chemicals below the row. And the two graphs represent the same treatments. On the left hand side, you would see the unfertilized control treatment. In the middle, you have the fertilization on the entire surface. And on the right hand side, you can see localized fertilization below the row. And you can see that we have a positive impact on fertilization efficiency by localizing the nitrogen below the row. And we also had a positive impact in terms of yeast assimilable nitrogen at harvest. We have another trial, actually ongoing in our vineyard in Puy, with several research questions. We compare different forms of nitrogen, different period of application, different localization, and also different techniques of application. And here you can see on the picture, here is a pal injector, which allows us to inject nitrogen in a liquid form below the cover crop, close to the roots. And the idea here is to reduce the competition, to bring the nitrogen closer to the plants. It's too early to take conclusion, but I can show you the result from last year. The two graphs represent the same treatments. It's urea application. We applied 40 kg per hectare in the three treatments here. On the left hand side, it was injected in the soil at spring. In the middle, it was injected in the soil at verrugion. And on the right hand side, it was applied on the leaves at verrugion. And you can see that for when we applied nitrogen earlier in the season, we had a better impact on the winter pruning way, which represents the vigor of the plant, as I told you before. But on the other hand, late application at verrugion had a better impact on yeast assimilable nitrogen in the must compared to earlier application. So that is not, that we knew that already, that foliar application is quite efficient on nitrogen composition. So just a focus on foliar nitrogen fertilization. It's a good way when we face nitrogen deficiency in the season. It's a good way to rectify and to limit the damage at harvest. So usually foliar application is done at derision, and this time the aim will be to improve nitrogen concentration in the grapes. It will have positive impacts on the wine making and on the development of aromas, particularly for rosé and white wines. We use usually urea, which is the cheapest form of nitrogen, but it also exists ready-made solution, easy to apply on the leaves. Foliar application is usually applied around 10 to 20 kg maximum, and we have to split the application over several weeks. And to apply on the entire leaf area to reduce the symptoms, as you can see on the picture, the symptoms of toxicity due to temporary excess of ammonium in the leaves. You need also to avoid the heat period and to dilute very well to limit and to improve the assimilation by the plant and to limit the loss of nitrogen in the air by volatilization. So in summary, I don't know if just to take home message for my presentation for an optimal nitrogen management. So first of all, we need to choose the proper plant material, and particularly in problematic areas where we have very low nitrogen, regularly very low concentration in the plant. Maybe it's interesting to change. To really think differently, and if the appellation allows it, to go for red varieties, because red varieties are less sensitive in terms of wine quality to nitrogen deficiency. In terms of plant balance, 1 to 1.2 square meter per kg of fruit is recommended in our temperate climates. In that way, we will promote the proper maturation of the grapes, proper nitrogen accumulation in the reserves for the next year and in the long term. And also, we will prevent nitrogen deficiency in the must at harvest. In terms of fertilization, if we go for that, spring application on the soil will improve the vigor and will have an impact on the long term on bud fertility and the yield as well. But there is a late possibility in the season at derision. We can apply foliar urea on the leaves. In that way, that will impact directly the nitrogen concentration in the must. And this won't have a long-term effect. You do the application at derision to have results at the harvest in the same year. In terms of cover crops, as I told you before, the cover crop can be very damaging in terms of competition with nutrition and water, so we strongly recommend to remove the weeds under the row and to localize the fertilization just below the row. And we still have experiment ongoing, so we will have more results about injecting nitrogen in the soil soon. I put here references that I used to do this presentation, and I'd be happy to answer your question. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Thibault, for this very interesting presentation, both scientifically very well, very sound, but also very applied for our growers. Are there any questions?
Thank you for the presentation, very interesting. Congratulations for the very interesting trials. I just wanted to know about the rootstock effect. Do we have any idea about the mechanism behind the differentiation between different rootstock? Is it more a physiological thing? Is it an aptitude to mycorrhization which is different? Is something else?
That's a good question. It's difficult for me to answer it, but I would say it's mostly genetics and the ability of the adaptation of the rootstocks will vary in terms of structure of the soil, composition of the soil. About mycorrhiz, I couldn't say.
Yes, I can add some words. I don't think it's a question of availability of uptake of nitrogen in soil. When you see the Riparia grower de Montpellier, undrafted, it produces a lot of biomass. It's very vigorous with a lot of nitrogen. So definitely some rootstock are designed to a great amount of nitrogen uptake. But they are unable to transfer this nitrogen to the canopy. So in fact, I will focus much more on the work of Sarah Coxon. We should encourage her to produce a good paper on it, and Natalia. And it seems to be a question of transfer, availability of transfer through the graft point. And some of them are unable to transfer this nitrogen to the canopy. And others, I will say, very weak when they are ungrafted, like 110 Richter, 140 Ruggieri, very weak. When you graft them, they are able to transfer nitrogen to canopy and berries, of course. So, well, we should encourage Sarah Coxon to produce a nice paper on it.
We'll invite her next year as a speaker. Yeah. Damien, you had another question. Claire, the microphone for Damien.
It is on. Thank you, Kiwo. Very interesting presentation. Have you looked at the early season growth of the shoots? Presumably, there's a tipping point from when the reserves feed that growth, the nitrogen reserves feed that growth, to when there is uptake through the plant. Do you know when that occurs?
I didn't understand the question.
At the moment, it was good, the reserve d'azote, where l'absorption d'azote. Yes.
At the beginning of the season, the plant will dig into its reserves, root reserves, to start to grow. And usually, it's just there is a first peak of assimilation before flowering. And at that stage, that will shift. Then the leaves start to be sufficient, and assimilation from the roots will start. So, but your question.
Yeah. So that's the answer. So it's okay. At a similar time to when the shoot becomes a net exporter of.
Yes. Actually, what I observed in the study in my PhD is that the carbon assimilation and nitrogen assimilation are very much related, and the plant requires nitrogen to properly assimilate carbon, but it also needs carbon to properly assimilate nitrogen. There is a strong relation between the two. So
the follow-up question is the foliar applications at Berezin, do they increase the root reserves in nitrogen?
That we didn't observe that. We did the experiment a few years back about that with using nitrogen isotopes, and we didn't observe the differences. We also noticed that when we bring that nitrogen late in the season, the accumulation will go mainly to the grapes, and it won't have carryover effect in the following year. In the next year, we don't see any difference at all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we bring nitrogen early in the season, that will be more accumulated in the vegetative part in the entire plant, including the root growth. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Pierre-Louis?
Yes, I have two questions, in fact, for you. Maybe because we are less familiar than the transformation. The first point is concerning the leaves sampling, because possibly you can have difference maybe in nitrogen concentration if the leaves are at the bottom or the top. Or, okay. So is there a big potential difference or variation when you do a measurement? So do you take just an average and the variation is reduced in function of the time of growth? This is the first point. And the second is, how do you measure the nitrogen? So the nitrogen is made because you are doing a hydrolysis with the soil and sand method, or you are doing an IRTF methodology for the assimilation of nitrogen, so, or HPLC, but how do you measure the nitrogen?
Thank you. Yes, indeed, the concentration of nitrogen will change with the age of the leaves, yes. So usually when we measure, it depends on the measurement. There are several ways to measure nitrogens. And what we want to know also. But for leaf diagnosis, so meaning we take the leaves, we usually take leaves in the bunch area. We are not trying to compare the top of or the bottom of the shoots. This is the protocol, and we have thresholds defined for this and at the region. Leaves from the bunch area at the region. The analysis here in this trial that I presented, it was different. About the partitioning, we took the entire canopy. We took the entire canopy, and then we, from the mix of everything, we took the nitrogen. Okay, so it's let's say an average of the entire canopy. And about the analysis, in that experiment, we used the elemental analysis ERNS.
Okay,
so it was combined with the isotope analysis. So it was very precise, actually.
Thank you.
Okay, there's another question.
Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to ask you if you know what is the optimal concentration of nitrogen in grapes so as to have the beneficial effect on wine quality, but at the same time to avoid the formation of unhealthy compounds that are connected with urea metabolism, like ethyl carbamate or bio-urea, or biogenic amines.
Thank you for the question. It's kind of difficult to answer this question. First, I would say that for white wines, for white wine making, we consider the proper quantity of nitrogen is above 200 milligrams per liter. Okay. That will also depend on the quantity of sugar accumulated in the grapes. Because if there is more sugar, if you have a highly concentrated grapes, then you will need more nitrogen also to complete the fermentation. Okay. So that means that from case to case, the consumption of nitrogen will change. So that's why it's quite difficult to answer this question. About the formation of undesirable molecules. So actually on winemaking in my experiment, I do micro-vinification and I adjust the correction of nitrogen in the must. I adjust it proportionally to the concentration of sugar. There is a publication about that we can discuss.
But it's a good question, because too low is not good, but too high can also be undesirable. And most of the research is on white varieties. Maybe you can say a few words on the impact of nitrogen status in the red varieties, in particular phenolic compounds.
There are many publications about nitrogen fertilization, and quite often we can see the treatment used in the quantity of nitrogen applied in those experiments, they are very high. And when you go for too high nitrogen fertilization, the vigor will be exacerbated, and there will be too much leaf area, there will have problem of rot on the grapes, and that will have a negative impact on the quality of the grapes. For the reds, it will reduce also the concentration of polyphenols, and that is quite negative. But on the other hand, the nitrogen deficiency on red wines is not good neither. And what we observe also in Switzerland on terroir studies, we had quite a great variety of nitrogen concentration in our plots of gamma ray. It's one of our red varieties, and we could see at wine tasting the impact on the tasting and the mouth feel, the tannins in the mouth. It was quite harder in situation of nitrogen deficiency, and the quotes of the tasting was lower in case of deficiency. So it was lower in case of excess of nitrogen, but it was also lower in case of deficiency. So we need a balance.
Okay. Well, thank you. This is a topic we can talk on it for hours, but we have to move to our next speaker. So I'll give a round of applause to Thibaut. I think it's a very, very important.